Paulus claimed this morning after the Rockets beat the Jazz in Game 3 that P.J. Tucker is clearly the most likable Rocket.
Not debatable. He gives you heart. He gives you effort. He gets the rebounds at the end of games. He can hit a corner three. He's going to play defense better than anyone else on the team. He does all of those nitty-gritty things. He played for the Horns. Come on, baby.
Played for the Horns, but Gerald Green's from Houston.
Yeah, I know. Gerald, playing for the Horns, much more respectable.
Gerald Green basically does more to kind of, I don't want to say pander, because it's genuinely not pandering, but he comes wearing the throwback jerseys. He's genuinely Houston. He's got the distinctive braids. Plus, you can't, for one, you can't say it's not debatable when we're talking about likability. That's the most subjective thing.
It's not debatable
for Paul Gallant.
I am your God. You follow what I say. What happened yesterday? That's right. Guys, P.J. Tucker is the guy. I'm not going to go any further than that. It was just a really quick little reference. Game of Thrones episode happened yesterday. We saw some awkward things going on. But hey, look, for Tucker, the reason it's Tucker for me is because, you know, with Gerald Green, there are nights where I don't like Gerald Green. There are nights where I watch Gerald Green and I'm like, get off the court, please. Please stop doing what you're doing.
He's not as good at basketball as P.J.
Exactly. That's the thing.
But usually a lot of times my favorite players aren't the guys who are best at basketball.
Understood.
You know, it's not I don't want the fully polished guy. I want the guy that's got the story behind him, like Gerald Green does.
To me, Green is the most likable guy because you get a clear feeling that there's a connection between the fans and Gerald Green. Whereas I don't know if there's quite that same connection between the fans and P.J. Tucker. Maybe there will be, especially if he keeps making plays like Saturday.
Those plays, those rebounds at the end of the game that sealed the game were about the grittiest, most awesome thing I've seen out of this Rocket squad, and especially the last one because he. He out-hustled and outpaced like three Jazz players when they desperately needed that. It was just awesome. And like the fourth quarter, that's why I was so excited about that Rockets game, was the fourth quarter. I think I would say this squad in general is a lot more likable than last year's team just because I feel like they're kind of made for the grime. They're a little bit more, even though they're awful at rebounding, they've actually turned it on when it matters. They out-rebounded the Jazz, who were a very good rebounding team yesterday, especially in the fourth quarter. The Jazz were like 1-for-15 on offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter. Like the Rockets crushed them on the boards, and that ended up being the difference. Like they were just the Rockets more physically fresh team in the fourth quarter. And you're right, P.J. Tucker is a big part of that. I think if we come out of this playoffs, if the Rockets pull it out versus the Warriors, it'll include at least one or two games where Gerald Green goes off from three, but I think P.J. Tucker's going to have consistently some... Like, P.J. Tucker, if he keeps getting wide-open threes like he has been, he'll continue to shoot 40 to 50% from the three-point line.
Is P.J. Tucker the most likable Rocket? I'm looking at the text line, Paul. Would you say most people agree or disagree with you? It seems kind of split right now.
I think there are a lot of people that are going for Gerald Green, Daniel House as well. But I would say for the most part, it's probably between P.J. Tucker and Gerald Green at this point.
I'm really surprised that Nene hasn't gotten a single vote. That's really messed up, man. Just because a guy gets old and isn't used as much now, and because you got younger, fresher Kenneth Reed coming in, looking somewhat similar, that you just cast Nene out. You know what that is? That's a BS Mike Meltzer move. You would put Nene out on the ice floes.
No, I like
Nene.
You're
like, see you later, Nene. You're old now. You're done. We're just going to cast you off on an iceberg.
I actually might want Nene in the next series over for Reed against Golden State.
Yeah.
But we got to get past one more game.
That's the nice thing.
You got
some versatility. There's a jackknife quality to this team and their lineups that you can use versus Warriors.
Why is nobody voting? Why have we not received any votes for James Harden?
Well, because that's
interesting.
That's just the deal.
Just want to throw that
out
there.
You know what's bothering me lately is that every time I see Patrick Beverley get into a dust up in the playoffs, I see people gushing about, wow, Pat Beverley, he's America's hope and future. That's what you need, guys like that.
He was ours.
It felt to me like when he was on the Rockets, it was a lot more harsh criticism whenever he did anything. I don't know. Even if it was versus the Warriors, I felt like people just flat out, they thought he was a punk or whatever. But now that he's off the Rockets, all of a sudden it's okay to love him. Is it because maybe, though, that the Clippers are huge underdogs compared to when the Rockets weren't huge underdogs?
It could be that. I also think there's something to be said for the Rockets wearing their melting communism jerseys. I mean, it's just someone that's in that old that they aren't wearing as much anymore. I think when you're wearing that red and white, I think people just like tend to dislike you.
I think the black unis.
The blacks are great. I like
that. No, I think as far as like other teams liking you or not, it's I think the black team, the black unis.
I love the black uniforms. They're the best, no question.
So they look more likable now.
I'm gonna go with Gerald Green, the most likable Rocket.
Geraldo?
Just because.
But what happens on a night where he's not good?
Do you know how much that's just Gerald Green. Like that's what you expect.
I can't accept that.
He's gonna be cold some nights. He's gonna be hot.
No, I'll be like, go to timeout, Gerald. I don't want to see you. Where PJ Tucker could have a 1-for-14 night, and I'm like, yep, PJ Tucker, he's doing the little things.
No, the other thing with Gerald Green is those braids. Those are meticulous and they take time.
They do take time.
Should be spending more time shooting.
Yeah, that's true. He should be.
Well, that's the problem. Gerald's one of those guys who like he is what he is. And he can work on his game a million hours a day. He will not become better offensively or defensively.
You don't know that he
is a hot and cold player who, when he makes some shots, and he made two big ones on Saturday, they're going to help you out a lot. But he's not all of a sudden going to become some lockdown defender because he spends all these hours in the gym. Like, he is what he is.
You don't know that. I mean,
I know that.
Again, those braids, they take people talk about this all the time. Braids take about like 40 hours or so to like
40?
Put together. Yeah, sometimes even 73. I'm exaggerating.
Wait, oh, all right.
Come on. I
thought it might be 10 or something. I don't know, like for a really intricate job. I don't know.
You know what? I actually am curious as to how long it takes. So text that in. How long do a good quality set of braids like Gerald Green have? I would venture that the over-under should be set at about 2.5 hours.
He could be watching film while he's getting the braids put in, though, too.
That's true.
You watch it on your phone these days.
Good sign for the Rockets this morning on a Monday. Mike, Seth, and Paul, when Pavtex Robert, who is a traitor to the city of Houston and now is a bandwagon Warriors fan, admits that he is very nervous for what should be this upcoming second round series. It makes me feel good that our guy Pavtex Robert is nervous about that series. My God, if the Rockets ever were to pull it off, I'm going to ride in here like on a chariot the next day. But you got to win game 4 tonight against the Utah Jazz. 9:30 tip off in Salt Lake City. Mike, Seth, and Paul, time now for Mad Takes. I would not do or even consider doing what Danny Amendola did this weekend. He went on Instagram and revealed all these unnecessary details about his relationship with this Olivia Culpo. His ex-girlfriend, no longer dating. And I'm just going to summarize some of this. He's met some of the nicest people from all over the world. Olivia and I had some amazing times together. Just like any other loving relationship we fought, a lot of time it was my fault because, let's be honest, I can be an idiot. But she's bleeped up too, and if you cross me, I'm a hard bleeper to deal with.
That's how we roll in the Woodlands.
The universe brought her and I together to enjoy life, love, and learn. We celebrated that as often as we could, and the sex was bleeping crazy.
Yeah, the Woodlands.
She gets so mad at me for not posting her on social media, but I think this bleep is sometimes fake, sometimes toxic, but sometimes beautiful. And I felt like she had enough pictures online anyway. Truth is, I have a whole cell phone of funny, embarrassing, sexy pics IG would love to have. However, living a public image is not my choice.
Well, and he did this in response to her posting a picture with some DJ, right? Because he took a shot at the DJ.
Yeah, he called a little skinny boy.
Yeah, that was kind of messed up. That's why I felt like he went too far. Like, I felt like Danny Amendola was maybe he'd garner some sympathy at some point, but then he had to go ahead and, like, give the nerd a swirly at the end of it. I thought that was a bad move by Danny Amendola. Apparently, though, they've been on again, off again. I think this girl's got his...
they were.
I think she's got him kind of
by the
effed up in the head.
Yeah,
like not like crazy crazy, but enough that she's in his... Yeah.
On his package.
She owns him a little bit. He's got to get over this. It's like, come on, you're Danny Amendola. What are you wrapped up? Like, can any woman have this effect on you?
But I imagine this is probably, as far as looks go, I imagine this has got to be close to the top. He's a good-looking guy, but, I mean, she is... a 10, like a certified 10.
Well, Danny Amendola, he's a really good looking guy.
He's a successful NFL player. He's in the club now because he's already dated this woman. Like, Danny Amendola could have his pick of many good looking women. Is why it's more than just her being good looking. There's something special about her that he can't let go of.
Well, I think there's a good looking side of things, but I imagine someone like that who you're on again, off again with all the time, I feel like there's a comparative side of things that always goes into it too. And he will try things with another person, and then he's like, nope, not her.
Yeah, but it's not going to be, like, based on looks, you could definitely get other women that are comparable to her in looks.
I think so, too.
How many people look like her? Not many.
It's all in the eye of the beholder,
it's all
right?
The circles you run in, too, and everything. If, like, that's what he's into, is finding super hot women. Like, there's, especially, like, once you crack the code on the super hot women, a lot of it, like, it's relatively easy.
What's the code?
What's the code?
They have lower self-esteem than you would expect.
Okay.
So, code? Does that mean I neg them? Does that mean I go up to them and I attack their low self-esteem?
No.
Should I start reading the game?
Paul, first step, though, is that he's Danny Amendola. That's the problem, though.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you're underestimating
Acalon.
I feel like you're underestimating the power of being Danny Amendola.
Oh, I'm not at all. I mean, the guy's an NFL player. He's a good-looking guy. But at the same time,
he's
not
just an NFL player.
I'm talking about from his own mindset. I'm thinking his own mindset. I imagine for him, Olivia Culpa is someone that he cannot help but compare other people to. And that works against him.
Because I'm almost positive that some of Olivia Culpa's friends have hit on Danny Amendola.
Oh, probably. But again, I think Olivia, in that circle, I doubt that there's anyone atop Olivia Culpa.
Quick question. Do you guys believe the old Chris Rock thing about how, like, men can never go back in looks or sexuality, whereas women can never back in lifestyle?
Yes, because I know. No. I have some friends. Let's be careful how I
phrase this.
I have some friends who are married to women that, like, you wouldn't necessarily think that they would be married to, based on, like, what they, like, who they dated in college and everything, that are extremely happy because they kind of, like, figured life out and realized, like, oh, wow, like, I met this woman and she's awesome. And she makes me happy, and she doesn't. She's not psychotic, and yeah, they're like really, really happy.
That's a good message.
There's one guy
I know. There's
one guy I know that played a few years in the pros that like used to go out with like models and stuff and everything. Now he's with a woman that you wouldn't mistake her for a model. Like I feel like a jerk saying
that's
this.
That's fine.
He's so happy, like so happy.
That's a great.
Because he stopped being superficial.
That's a great message for the entire audience to get your Monday started in a great way. That's a good message.
That's what I'm trying to do. Be less superficial.
Yeah.
It's not working so well.
Okay, I'm wondering how this would go over in Houston. So, this is complex and yet simple at the same time. The Warriors are playing their last season in Oakland before they move into their new arena over in San Francisco. They also have a free agent by the name of Kevin Durant. Maybe you guys have heard of him. That goes by KD, who's probably going to leave at the end of the season. The Oakland A's, who play in Oakland, just re-signed their player, Chris Davis. So the Oakland A's took out an advertisement in the San Francisco Chronicle that reads, KD commits to Oakland, unquote. This is like trolling on multiple levels.
Yeah.
And from an inner metro area rival, it's not even a rivalry. This would be like the Astros taking out an ad to troll the Rockets over somebody leaving. Like if James Harden were going to leave or something next year. But also because the team is leaving Oakland to go to San Francisco. Still the same. It's Bay Area.
So is that what it is that the Oakland A's are basically saying, hey, everybody else is leaving Oakland. We're the one team, since we have no options, we're the one staying, and we're going to make as big of a deal about this as possible.
It seems petty to me. It doesn't seem like the right thing, because like a lot of your fans are also Warriors fans. Like it feels like you're thumbing your nose at your fans as well as the team that's leaving the Oakland. I don't know about this.
And there's only like 30 people that go to the games, and they all bring instruments, so they're probably very insufferable as it is.
Yes.
They got the big old horn section out there.
Imagine going to an A's game, and then all of a sudden, like you see like one of the people you're going is like has a trumpet, and you're like, oh, God, I'm going to have to sit next to this clown for an entire game. Oh, he's going, brah, brah, brah. That's what trumpets sound like.
Yeah, it does.
I can't imagine something like this happening here.
It's the much lesser team trolling the team that's won multiple championships. You're leaving, are you? You know what it is? That's like the, going off to college, are you, college boy? Screw you.
We're the only team staying in town. Yeah, there are rats running amok in our stadium, and it smells like sewage everywhere, but we're staying.
I suppose I wonder if I was not in Houston in the mid-90s, but I wonder if there was any trolling from the Rockets or the Astros about the Oilers leaving town.
But at least then they're actually leaving town.
Yes,
this would be like if the Texans were going to the Woodlands or something.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I'm like, we stick around.
The Texans are moving to Galveston.
We don't normally do this, but guys, there was a scene on Game of Thrones last night that was just so good that I feel like you guys need to hear it for yourselves. It really led to an extremely bloody scene.
I only want what's best for Westeros.
And I only want for you to not get what you want.
See? This is why you don't have any friends.
It's you, Elmo.
Who are you?
Oh, Elmo, this Elmo of Sesame Street. Elmo thinks that you two need to respect each other. When Elmo has a problem with his friends like Abby or Cookie Monster, Elmo doesn't get upset. Elmo listens and learns from what they have to say.
If we stop fighting and work together, we can be stronger. I'm willing to learn and listen if you are.
Will Miss Cersei try to listen and understand what Mr. Tyrion is saying?
I can try.
Trying is a great way to start.
A toast to our new red friend.
Oh, yummy! Elmo loves toast!
And spoiler alert, they both died. Cersei and Tyrion were poisoned by Elmo.
I didn't enjoy that at all. What was that? Was that
so? Sesame Street put up a PSA where they're trying to get people to respect others. It's PSA for children. Right.
This may be a very, very, very stupid question.
I think people
question.
That don't watch Game of Thrones might have enjoyed that more than I, who watch Game of Thrones.
This was they exclusively. They didn't actually do a scene here. They just inserted.
Oh, that was in the show, man. That was in the show last night.
Okay,
Elmo's the newest character on Game of Thrones. They need everyone that they can to fight the army of the dead.
They're taking everybody in.
They brought a puppet in.
There's no good thing that ever comes from that damn Elmo voice. Oh, I hate that Elmo voice.
Was
that funny with a video attached to it or something?
The video made it a little bit better.
I didn't think that was a good advertisement for Elmo or Game of Thrones or being kind to people, because it makes me want to smash people.
You take two interesting things on their own, you combine them, it makes everything look worse.
Yeah, well, no, in this particular instance.
I'm not a big Sesame Street guy.
This particular thing I was not a fan of.
I got it.
I'm glad, Seth, that you weren't a father during the time of Tickle Me Elmo, which was about 1996. That was the year that everyone started like breaking into stores trying to get Tickle Me Elmos for Christmas.
Oh, because
you would have lost your mind if you had one of those at home if you hated that.
The popular Christmas gift is the worst. The worst.